This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the start of the week. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm T. Xiaoyik with Kelly Anissa and Sharmila Ganesan. We have some thought-provoking stories for you this Monday, starting with one about how the British Medical Journal will no longer allow formula milk ads in its journals. So we're looking at whether this helps mothers who want to breastfeed or does it actually take away women's control over their bodies.
And Singapore's Health Ministry wants to conduct a thorough review of informed consent taken by doctors. We look at what this means and whether young doctors in Malaysia are prepared for this.
So on that note, we are asking you on Twitter, are Malaysian healthcare professionals doing enough to properly inform patients about the benefits and risks of treatments? We'd love to hear from you, whether you work in the healthcare industry or if you have stories about your own experiences with your healthcare professionals. To join the conversation, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also call us. Our phone lines are open, 03-7733-2900.
All that's coming up after Freedom by Paul McCartney.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was Paul McCartney with Freedom. And in our first story, we are discussing the freedom to choose whether to breastfeed. Sharmila,
so if you have any thoughts on breastfeeding, whether your own experiences or stories to share, or if you'd like to tell us your opinion, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can call us at 03-7733-2900 to let us know, what your experiences might be about breastfeeding.
Yeah, and the reason we're talking about that is because the British Medical Journal announced last week it will no longer allow our formula milk ads in its journal. This came out in its March editorial, and the editors wrote that they will not be carrying ads for breast milk substitutes starting this year after some of the existing contracts run out. So just some background information: breast milk substitutes, that's a term that some of you may not be familiar with. It includes all milks that may replace breast milk in the first 3 years of life, including infant formula, follow-on formula, specialist products, and milks marketed for toddlers, as well as foods marketed for children under 6 months old. So basically, as a catch-all phrase, we could use the term formula milk.
And BMJ is making this move in order to support the World Health Organization and UNICEF's International Code of Marketing of Breast Milk Substitutes. This code explicitly bans advertising and promotion of these products to the general public. Mm-hmm. Countries are expected to adopt the code into national law, though not all have done so. 136 out of 194 countries have some form of legal measures in place covering all, many or few provisions of the code.
So I guess the question is, why is this important, mm-hmm. right? Well, it's important because globally, breastfeeding rates are still low. Around the world, only 3 out of 5 children under 6 months of age are not exclusively breastfed. And exclusive breastfeeding is where you only feed breast milk for the first 6 months of life, mm-hmm. with nothing else, not even water.
Right.
Yeah. So only 45% of children continue breastfeeding for 2 years. And then in Malaysia, according to the National Health and Morbidity Survey 2016, 47.1% of babies are exclusively breastfed up to 6 months. The WHO's global nutrition targets for 2025 are to achieve at least 50% of exclusive breastfeeding. Mm. So we're actually not far off,
right.
47.1%, right?
Yeah. So for World Breastfeeding Week in August last year, I spoke to obstetrician and gynecologist Dr. Pramita Damodaran, and here she is explaining about the importance of breastfeeding.
I think we've got to look at it from the aspect of the baby, mm-hmm. and the aspect of the mother. So if you're looking at the mother, it's great because whenever the baby latches on, it shrinks the uterus, all the remaining blood from inside comes out, she bonds with her child, she feels so much better. Of course, this motherhood issue comes in and she's in a better place. It also has been shown to cut down your risk of ovarian cancer, breast cancers. And there have been also a lot of studies which says that it cuts down the risk of postnatal depression, okay? So that's mom. Let's not forget the fact that it's also cheaper and, you know, it's economical.
Yes.
You don't have to boil something and so it's much faster to feed the child. But the most important aspect is, of course, for the baby. Because here you have readily digestible milk in the correct proportion, safe for the intestines of the baby. It's at the right temperature. You don't have to heat something up. Mm-hmm. It's always readily available. It also helps the baby cut down risk of infections, middle ear allergies, stomach infections. It's been shown to cut down diabetes later on in the child, type 1 diabetes. The milk contains a lot of antibodies, and these antibodies actually help prevent infections in the child. So there's a whole load of things that breast milk can actually do.
So, yes, the benefits of breastfeeding are clear. Mm-hmm. But what's a lot murkier is actually the right of a woman to choose how she wants to feed her baby after she has taken into consideration the benefits and challenges of breastfeeding.
Right.
So in response to BMJ's ban on formula ads, The Slate actually ran an opinion piece written by Amy Tutter. She's an obstetrician and gynecologist in the US who also blogs about the politics of breastfeeding and other aspects of the natural parenting movement.
Right.
Amy argues that BMJ's ban on formula ads is not a medical decision based on scientific evidence, but actually a cultural decision that pressures women to use their bodies in ways that are approved by society.
Right.
So Amy writes that baby formula is a legitimate solution to what is often a serious health problem. And she believes that by making it difficult for women to access formula, as well as pressuring them to breastfeed, society is using women's biology to control them.
And apart from the fundamental principle of her baby, her body, her choice, there are also many instances when breastfeeding is not possible for mothers and not suitable for their babies. So, for instance, babies born to women who have to take medications incompatible with breastfeeding, mm-hmm, for example. Yeah. Also, some women simply cannot produce enough breast milk through no fault of their own. And let's not forget that the thousands, in fact millions, of women who are going through the mental and emotional upheaval of taking care of a baby. If breastfeeding is adding to that exhaustion, to the multiple middle of the night feedings, isn't it worse for the mother's health?
Yeah, absolutely. Physically and mentally as well. So in the same interview last August, Dr. Premita spoke up strongly against society's judgment towards women and their breastfeeding choices. Here, I asked her what she thought about the politics of breastfeeding.
I think it's bad news. It really is, because without a doubt, no one can deny, and even mums who do give formula feeds, they cannot deny the fact that the breast milk is the best. But if it's not for them, it's not for them, and we respect their decision and we move on. We do not comment, because we should not, because we have no idea what kind of stresses that mother goes through, how her labor went, is she traumatized by it, what kind of personality does she have, what kind of background does she have, what kind of work experiences does she have, and how is her baby? How can we judge? Every baby is not the same. Some babies are very good at latching. Some babies never latch. Some babies want milk quickly and they want it stat. Some babies are okay, they do it slowly. Mm-hmm. Some babies are poor feeders. They just want things automatically. A lot of babies lose weight and more than that is expected. If a baby is already small at birth, you want to feed that baby up because she needs to grow, or he grow much faster, rather than allowing the breast to develop. So we might have to talk about mixed feeding at that time. Every child is different. Every mother is different.
Yes.
If breastfeeding is possible, it's absolutely fine. If she ends up with mixed feeding, where she is trying her best at the same time topping up, let her be. If she ends up stopping breastfeeding and going on to formula, that's absolutely fine. We have a mother who is happy with her decision. We have a child who's happy, and life goes on. We should not comment. Yeah. And I think it's very wrong for others to actually interfere, because they have no idea what is actually going on in that mother's life.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, it's I don't think many people realize that the politics of breastfeeding is a thing, right?
Yes.
And how did this infant feeding space become so politicized? Well, here's a little bit of Harini Dalam Sejarah. We've been doing a lot of these lately, yes. But I think it's so important to know the background of these movements. So the International Code of Marketing came about in 1981, and this was after formula companies in the 70s and 80s used some very unethical practices to promote milk powder to women who had access only to contaminated water, because tens of thousands of infants had died as a result from switching. So as a result of the switch from breast milk to formula mixed with dirty water.
Right.
So now there's no argument that that was wrong, right? Mm-hmm. You know, what the companies did back then was absolutely unethical. But the reaction since then has been extreme, to say the least. The pro-breastfeeding movement is made up of activist NGOs, mothers, healthcare professionals, public health authorities, who all promote breastfeeding at the expense of a mother's personal choice.
Yeah, and in her article, Amy pointed out that aggressive breastfeeding promotion has a negative impact on the physical health of some babies and the mental health of some mothers. So she cited a recent comprehensive review of the scientific evidence about breastfeeding, which actually shows that exclusive breastfeeding is an now the leading risk factor for hospital readmission of newborns, primarily due to issues like dehydration, failure to thrive, weight loss, and hyperbilirubinemia, which in other words is jaundice, which many babies do face. And as Dr. Premita also alluded to, many women have identified breastfeeding pressure as a factor in postpartum depression, and others have explained how the pressure to breastfeed can contribute needlessly to anxiety, you know, guilt and worry in their early days of motherhood.
Yeah, and in response to the pro-breastfeeding groups, though, another movement has arisen, the Fat is Best movement. These are mothers and healthcare professionals who believe that it is the mother's choice to decide on the safest method to feed her baby, whether it is breast milk or formula milk. The Fat is Best movement takes into account a mother's mental health, especially when she is struggling to live up to society's expectations about how she takes care of her baby. Dr. Premita talked about the toll that this takes on a mother.
When your child is born, that's when the pressures actually start. You're supposed to be the best mother. You're supposed to breastfeed. You're supposed to go to work and come back and still do everything right. Regain your figure, you know. You're supposed to handle everything in the house. What kind of pressure is that? That's horrible. I think, you know, it's amazing how well our women are actually doing these days, despite all that pressures. But it gets to you. It really can get to a lot of women. So depression and mental health has become a big issue in pregnancy, after delivery. And that's why we actually address it thereon. And we actually look at our mothers and watch and see, are you okay? Many of us doctors are actually talking to the husbands as before going home and say, look, you know what? Your wife will cry. Your wife will do this. If you think you're worried, give us a call. Because it's better that they know that there is, they can pick up the phone and call us, because you'd like to approach it right from the very beginning, because mental health is important. And of course, a mother who is struggling with breastfeeding, oh my God, she is going to feel even more depressed. So yes, in one way, if she does do the breastfeeding, she feels better. If she doesn't do the breastfeeding, she feels bad about it. But if she needs to give up, and she gets to a point where she says, you know what, I can't do this, let me do formula, she probably reached a better place and everybody becomes happy.
So everybody becomes happy. That's the most important part.
Yeah. That's what it should be about, isn't it?
Yes, because you have a newborn in your life. There are so many things that you have to juggle now. Really, breastfeeding, the feeding of the baby is, while important, actually only one aspect of everything that's happening around you at the time, you know. There's your own health to take care of as well. And that, I mean, I've spoken to a lot of friends, you know, who have gone through the same journey, and many of them have persevered with breastfeeding. So kudos to all women who feed their babies, really. Right. All women who feed their babies, full stop. But there's so much angst over breastfeeding. You know, you try to do it, and on the other hand, there's, you know, you're going through sleepless nights because you are the only one who can feed the baby.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
And that's the biggest pressure. You have to wake up at every feed. You have to drag your baby around with you if you need to go out and do run chores and errands, and that kind of pressure is tremendous. So, what do you think about this? these politics.
Yeah. See, I do think that, like most issues related to women's bodies, that the choice should lie with the woman. Mm-hmm. And something like the British Medical Journal banning formula ads sends the message that it is somehow wrong or shameful or somehow less than for a mother to choose to formula feed her child without taking into account what her circumstances might be. And I think that's essentially the problem with these movements when they become political to such an extent that you're so set in one frame of thought that you're not acknowledging that there are other experiences out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I feel like, you know, the feminist choice, the empowering choice would be choice.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's best for your baby, right? Because I think yesterday or the day before, I was watching a video online and this new mother was sharing her experience about breastfeeding her child, and she didn't realize that she wasn't giving him enough milk and he wasn't gaining any weight. And and as you know, as we know that a lot of people are pressuring her to keep going on, it'll be fine. But and she went and she realized that it was making her really upset. Like she felt she wasn't doing enough as a mother.
Mm.
And she said it did make her feel depressed. And she eventually switched to formula, which again, I mean, if you, it's at the end of the day, it's about giving your baby the best that you can, right?
Yes. So the sad thing is that what is supposed to be this intimate act between mother and child has become such an, like, this massive, you know, overblown global debate, right?
And it's movements against movements.
Yeah, yeah, and it's divisive. It's damaging to a mother's autonomy. It's damaging to her health. You know, so for her final message, Dr. Premitha had this advice to offer on motherhood.
Motherhood is more than just breastfeeding. And that's why I always say, you know, it doesn't mean that mothers who adopt children are less of a mother.
That's right.
Because they don't go through labor or they don't do the breastfeeding bit of it. It doesn't mean that moms who opt out for an elective C-section don't experience motherhood because they haven't
gone through labor pains.
Mm-hmm. Because all these stories come up. Because motherhood is a whole different journey that goes on for the rest of your life and has its own ups and downs. There's a lot more out there. Breastfeeding is just that initial bit.
So, coming up after the break, we will discuss whether doctors are prepared to navigate the legal system.
So, on that note, we are asking you on Twitter, are Malaysian healthcare professionals doing enough to properly inform patients about the benefits and risks of treatment? So, you can tell us your experiences or your thoughts, whether you're a healthcare professional, whether you have had experience being a patient. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also call us at 03-77-33-2900.
But first, here's Play God by Annie DeFranco. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.